This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. Logan, how we doing for a mailbag edition of the show?
I'm always juiced for a mailbag, man. We're just talking about that. It's a lot of fun to kind of see what people are curious about and see if we can illuminate the fan questions, I guess. So,
yeah, illuminate, answer, provide a joke
whatever.
Or two.
Yeah.
By the way, I had some fun yesterday morning. I do a live stream show with my buddy Tony on Mondays, and we did what we call the internet's fastest mock draft. We picked the entire first round, and we had like a 30-second time cap on each pick. And yeah. I literally was like, if you want insight, analysis, this is not the show for you. That show is called Take Command. There's a guy named Logan Paulson in that. Oh, sorry. Oh, other way. Yeah, that way. In that box right there. And he's played 10 years in the league and is very smart. Today we have Tony. So we're here for jokes and entertainment. And so we did the entire thing. It was probably less than 15 minutes, to be honest. We steamed through that thing.
That's pretty good.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
But we will do some more mocks, obviously, over the next couple of weeks. We will eventually do one where we make every pick of the first round. We've kind of been more Commanders focused, where we use the simulators to get through and just pick the Commanders. But we will do a full first round mock, at least one before the draft. And yesterday doing that was a lot of fun. We'll take a little longer than 30 seconds per pick, but for some of them, probably not much. As for today, mailbag question, starting with Eddie from Laurel, who said, hey, Craig, I have a question for you. Why haven't we reached out to Elijah Moore for a vet minimum contract? He's Jaden's age, been more productive than all of our number two targets here in 2024, but we offer Gallup a deal. Is there any major red flags on this guy? Any insight? And this is a great question, I think, because one, to realize that Elijah Moore, who's getting ready to go on his second contract, is the same age as Jaden Daniels.
Crazy.
Is wild. And again, like Jaden being older wound up being a huge benefit last year. I don't think that really takes down his ceiling too much moving forward, but it is wild to remember that he's an older player and that there are guys like Elijah Moore who are much younger. We also haven't talked about the Michael Gallup signing, so we can use that as an excuse to talk about Gallup a little bit. And then we can also, I think, talk a little bit about some of the other options, because I do think, I don't know, Elijah Moore, it feels like there's some clearly something going on there that for a guy who's 25, got some juice at a premium position, the fact that he hasn't signed anywhere either means he and his representation have a very different view of themselves than what teams have, or there's some kind of major red flag, because guys like this don't hit the market very often and he's staying on the market. So I don't know that at this point, with the other signings they've made, Logan, going another veteran route seems to make a lot of sense. If it's a vet minimum contract, then whatever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I think the Elijah Moore part of it is. One, what do you know about Moore, if anything? And two, what do you make of the fact that they went the Michael Gallup route, pulling him out of retirement?
Yeah, I think, you know, so with Elijah Moore, like, he's the classic guy, like, where there's smoke, there might be fire. And so what I mean by that is, like, he moved on from the Jets. They traded him, and it wasn't like they traded him for nothing, but it was definitely significantly less than what they got him for. His second round pick, I think they traded him for like a fifth or a sixth. So that's kind of the first thing where it's like, something's going on here. We're not jiving with the current administration, right? Then again, coming out of Cleveland, which is, you know, not known for having the most model citizens of all time, best run organization ever. Like if you're coming off of a league, there's something about it. Like you just see it, like you see that trend all the time. Like I follow the draft pretty closely and you know, like Malachi Corley gets cut last year from the Jets, like middle of the season. And everyone's like, we should go sign Malachi Corley. Something's going on with Malachi Corley. If that happens, right. He's talented. He's a young player. Like, don't jump on that right away.
Teams don't cut the guys they drafted that are cost-controlled assets at premium positions like wide receiver that cost a lot of money if there's not something going on there.
Right. So I think like that's what I would say is like I don't know anything specifically, but this follows a trend of player that I'm very familiar with and you're probably very familiar with.
Yeah.
And
so the like, Jets to Browns pipeline, not great.
Not great. And so like we're going to sit on that and we're going to like – and again, like if he wants to come in for a vet minimum, that's fine. But also like – you don't get traded if you're like a – so I think a really good example of this is who was the guy that was drafted at Ole Miss a couple years ago? Treadwell?
LaQuan Treadwell. Yeah.
Yeah, LaQuan Treadwell. So the Minnesota, he was a first-round pick. They hung on to him through hell or high water, right? And so I talked to my buddies up there because he wasn't playing very well. And it's just like, he's the best dude, man. He's the best teammate. He's just not like a great football player. But we love him for the organization. We love him for the culture. And I was like, that's really cool. So they'll if they've invested draft capital and you are like working every day, you're grinding to get better, they'll keep you around. Obviously, that's not the case with him, right? So again, this is all speculative based on the decisions that have been made around his career. So I would just be – I know he's a fun player to watch. You watch his highlight reel, you're like, dang, this guy's pretty good, man. He's explosive. He's got some juice. Like, I just – there's that line of trade, not re-signing – makes me a little bit dubious about the player. And again, he might be totally fine. He might be the best guy of all time. I don't know. But that career
there seems
trajectory
to be a pattern here. There's correct. Undoubtedly smoke. We don't know yes. if there's fire because we're not reporters who are covering yep. the league like that. But there is smoke, and this team doesn't – I mean, they want the smoke, but not that kind of smoke.
Not that kind of smoke. That's exactly right. So I do think – and so again, I think it's interesting to compare him to Michael Gallup. And I think Michael Gallup is an interesting signing because – I don't know if you guys remember, but I think it was 2000. Was it 2021? 2022?
I believe it was 21. He had 1,100 yards on 66 catches.
He was the dude. He was poised to be the next kind of guy. Everyone was kind of watching his career saying, oh my gosh, this guy's going to kind of take this next step. Then he tears his ACL that year. And then he's kind of rehabbing the ACL in 23 and kind of gets back in 24 or goes to the
23. Yeah.
Yeah. Goes to Vegas and then says, Vegas is a dumpster fire. I'm going to retire from football. So in terms of this, like Dan Quinn knows him, right? And they tend to kind of like guys that they know. So all of that like personality stuff is no longer an issue. He's on a vet minimum deal for a guy that was a true two for a year, like a high level two for Dallas. And you know this guy and you're getting him on a vet minimum deal. So I'd say this is a excellent investment because it's a buy low signing that has a tremendous ceiling if he returns to 50% of the form he was at before. And so that's where this feels like in comparing him to Elijah Moore. They tend to like guys that they know or someone that they know knows directly. And I think that's what you're seeing here. It's like, why do I want to give Elijah Moore a vet minimum contract when I know Michael Gallup? I know what he's about. I know how he competes. I know how he works. And now I can bring him here. I know that asset really, really well. So to me, that seems like a safer asset. And having coached, like that's something I really value too. It's like I know what this guy's going to do. Now, can he physically get it done anymore? I don't know. But in terms of the guy he's going to be for our locker room, I feel much more comfortable about that.
Which we, of course, will always highlight last year was one of the huge keys to success. That brotherhood, like they didn't just talk about it because it made him feel good inside. Like it brought the best out of everybody. And I think of the inspiration that you get if you're a Terry or whoever else, you're Debo, and you're looking over and watching Michael Gallup, who literally was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, and retires last year. Like those kinds of stories within a locker room and the way they foster that, the way that everyone will know his story in that locker room, like that stuff matters on the day-to-day motivation during the long grind of a season. And Gallup, as you said, basically no risk. Like if it doesn't work and he just doesn't make the team, like who cares? I mean, it sucks for him, and it'd be great if that it
but
did
he was
go
out
away.
Of football
like,
last year. Like, yeah. So
for contractual salary cap, et cetera, purposes, for all the stuff that like we kind of tend to talk about in these ways, like except the non-human parts of it, like who cares? And if it works and he's remotely close to what he used to be after some time off, more time removed from the ACL, better environment, all that. Like, oh my God, they have a bona fide two to go with Debo. Noah Brown becomes like your four dirty work guy. Like, yeah, that would be incredible.
Should be perfect for him.
Yeah, so I think there's or Noah Brown winds up having what happened in Houston, where he doesn't even make the team because like Luke McCaffrey's that guy, and Luke takes a step. Like, there's all kinds of machinations, and I think this is something we talked about with the D-line last week, is like, we're going to spend some time talking about guys that ultimately are not going to make this football team, and that's good, because there are good football players that aren't going to make it. And I think that becomes especially more true at the wide receiver position, where one of these guys is probably an odd man out. I mean, maybe they carry six, seven. They've done it before. They carried six most of last year. But if they draft a guy as well, that becomes a different scenario as well. So if you look at the top guys, and let's play the 29 game, because we could go on forever. We could do a whole hour on all the pass catchers down the list. But of the guys that could be available at 29, we're talking Emeka Egbuka. We're talking Matthew Golden. We're talking that kind of caliber of player who, there's a couple of them that are all very different stylistically. I think Luther Burden is dropping, and I think it's off the field adjacent and stuff that I've heard around that. But let's pretend, like, for stylistic purposes, let's just throw him in that mix, because he's more of a short area quickness type guy. Egbuka is just like this professional Z receiver. And then Golden's like your super speed guy. If those three styles or those three players or anybody else that you want to throw in is on the board, how, like, what's the best fit for their receiver room considering the other moves that they've made?
So first off, if Matthew Golden by some kind of miracle makes it to 29, I think you do a backflip. Like, right now, I think he's probably a top 15 player in the draft. Like, when you watch his film, like, his, like, it's hard to kind of quantify, but like, he reminds me a little of like AB, you know, like Antonio Brown, like when he was at the peak of his power, like not the peak of his powers, like young AB coming in the league. Like, he just has this ability to run every route. He doesn't lose any speed in and out of the cut. Like, it's a very unique route running skill set. He catches the football at a high level. And so, to me,
which, by the way, just to underscore, when he doesn't lose any speed, this is a guy that ran sub 4.3.
Right. And he doesn't always play sub 4.3, but like, every route's on the table. Like, the fundamentals of his route running are tremendous. He makes contested catches. He's got great body control. Like, he's a receiver's receiver. So I think he goes top 15. He might go above Tedrill McMillan, honestly, like, depending on stylistically, like, what you're looking for. Like, I prefer Tedrill McMillan. I think his upside's a little bit higher. But if you just want to get on base, solid football player, he's going to play 10 years in the league, at least based on his college film, Golden seems like the guy. So I think he's kind of out of this conversation. But I think that same conversation in terms of professionalism applies to Emeka Egbuka. Like, on the last show we did, I said I have a higher grade on Egbuka than Luther Burden. And one of the reasons is, like, when you watch his film, that's a pro's pro, man. Like, he blocks. He understands how to create separation. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but when you watch the subtlety of his stems, how he does the little tricks at the top of his routes, he understands how to create separation. He's friendly to the football. He's competitive as all outdoors. I personally think he goes before 29. Like, I just think there's somebody like Seattle, LA is going to be like, this is perfect for us and what we want to be. And like, let's figure this out. So
he's going to wind up a Ram, isn't he? Son of a
gun. That's kind of what it feels like, right? Like, that's exactly, like, that's exactly, like, there's certain guys you watch. And I said this to you last year, like, certain players, you're like, that is a Kyle Shanahan receiver. That is a Sean McVay receiver. And Emeka Egbuka is the archetype of a Sean McVay wide receiver. Like, what they do in that offense, he's perfect for that. And again, he might be a little bit redundant with Puka Nacua there, but he's a good football player. So I personally think he's gone. So you're kind of in this Luther Burden, Alec Alamanor, Jaden Higgins kind of.
By the way, I saw Chad Reuter from NFL.com did a 4-round mock. Had him going in the fourth. People are all over the place on Alamanor.
So when you watch him, I understand that. Because, like, I'm a little bit – we did our receiver ranking for Ticket to the Draft podcast for the Commanders. And I had him at, like, 15. And the reason I have him at 15 is because he's a little bit stiff in the upper back. Like, he's like – jacked. Like, he's a big physical dude. Like, when you watch him come off the bus, you're like, damn, this dude's big. Like, he's a big kind of bodybuilder type build, and so he's a little stiff. Now, he's competitive, he runs okay routes, the stiffness kind of hurts him, but he's a good football player. I just think there's other guys that do the receiver stuff better.
All right, well, I don't know if we stylistically it feels like they're not going to go receiver at 29.
This is kind of what I'm saying. Like, unless you're not going Egbuka, like, it doesn't feel like they're going receiver at 29. Unless you really, really love, like, Higgins, right? Like, Higgins is interesting to me because he tested really well. Like, He ran the 4.47. He's 6'4 and a half, almost 6'5. He's got great body control. You watch his film at Iowa State. Runs routes from multiple spots. Got a little Drake London to his game. You know what I mean? Not as physical as that guy, because that Drake London's special. Like, he's a special football
player.
He's
a top 10 guy.
And so, again, like, this is a different athlete, but maybe I could see him sneaking in and you say, hey, and if Cliff says, man, I love what he does. I love the flexibility he brings the offense. Maybe you say that's the guy you want to roll with there. But that would be the only one right now. All the other ones kind of feel more like value in the second round type players.
Have no fear. Everyone's screaming at whatever listening device you're using right now or screaming at us on YouTube. Going, edge, 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 edge. Nothing else matters. We're going to answer an edge question next here on Take Command.